31 people were killed this weekend in two separate mass shootings. The first one took place in El Paso, Texas, the second in Dayton, Ohio. These shootings took place within 13 hours. This Monday also marked the seven-year anniversary of the deadly mass shooting at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek. Six people were killed in that attack. The right to bear arms is technically a right mandated by the Second Amendment of the Constitution. However, each state, including Wisconsin, has the ability to regulate how guns can be owned, carried, and more. And following this weekend's shootings, some lawmakers in the state say a change needs to be made in order to prevent shootings like this in the future. Our next guest joins us to talk about Wisconsin laws and how they could change. Pat Pobletti is a reporter for WisPolitics.com. Pat, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of the gun laws that are already in place on the books in Wisconsin?
Yeah, sure. So I guess to start, so the Giffords Law Center, which is a organization kind of co-founded by Gabby Giffords, the Arizona congresswoman who was shot in the head during a constituent outreach event in 2012, I believe, rates Wisconsin's gun laws as a C- overall. So that ranks 18th out of 50 states in terms of gun law strength, and they also have us as 39th out of 50 in terms of gun deaths per 100,000 citizens. So essentially what they're calling on for to improve Wisconsin gun laws is to enact universal background checks, require waiting periods for all firearm sales, and regulate what they call unsafe handguns, among several other things.
And here in Wisconsin, what types of controls are already on the books? For instance, do guns need to be registered? What about concealed carry? Things like that.
So, yes, there are concealed carry laws, and guns do need to be registered. Where kind of the discrepancy kind of lies, and this is something that Governor Tony Evers had actually called for at a press conference in Wauwatosa yesterday, is with private gun sales. Now, with gun sales that are done through a licensed firearm dealer, which accounts for roughly 80% of all gun sales nationally, they're run through what's known as the National Instant Criminal Background Check System, which provides a background check that has to be done before licensed dealers go ahead and sell that gun. But when it comes to the remaining 20%, which are private party sellers, kind of gun show sales, things of that nature, there's no federal law that kind of requires a background check, a record of the sale, or even for the seller to ask for identification.
And what about age? What are the age restrictions on buying or carrying a firearm in Wisconsin?
It is 18, and I know that there have been some proposals looking at moving that to 21. Those have been largely unsuccessful in the legislature.
In terms of gun-related incidents, how does Wisconsin compare to the rest of the country?
So, again, looking back at the data provided by the Giffords Center, Wisconsin ranks fairly middle of the pack, kind of towards the lower end, 39th out of 50 in terms of gun deaths. So not terrible, obviously not towards the top, not towards the bottom either.
And what do we know about the number of guns that are owned in Wisconsin? Is there a way to measure that?
I believe there is. I don't have that data on me, though.
We're talking with Pat Pobletti. He's a reporter for WisPolitics.com. We are talking about, in the wake of the mass shootings of this past weekend, what gun laws are on the books in Wisconsin, what proposals are out there, and what we are hearing from politicians and policymakers about the future of gun control in Wisconsin. And is there a fairly reliable split on where Democrats and Republicans fall on gun control issues?
Yeah, there absolutely is. And in terms of the state legislature, Democrats are fairly consistent in terms of pushing for measures that would limit access to guns in certain ways. For instance, we saw Governor Evers call for so-called red flag laws, which would essentially give a court the ability to take away firearms from a person if they are petitioned by either police officer, family member, roommate, loved one, so on and so forth, if that person is presenting signs that they may be a danger to themselves or to others. Now, that bill is not yet up in the legislature this year, but it was introduced last year by Representative, or last session, I should say, by Representative Melissa Sargent of Madison. I spoke with her office today, actually, and they're interested in bringing that bill back. They're working on it right now, kind of going through the process of meeting with stakeholders to find improvements to the last version of the bill. And they said they hope to bring that in September. Now, we also heard from Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz today, who issued a statement essentially backing universal background checks, red flag laws, and a bill that is up in the legislature right now, sponsored almost exclusively by Dems, which would reinstate the 48-hour waiting period that was part of Wisconsin law for a fairly long time, but was repealed in 2015 by then-Governor Scott Walker and the GOP-controlled legislature. Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling also reached out to us today in a statement. She supported the red flag laws, didn't say anything about the universal background checks, though.
With the red flag laws, which, as you said, would allow third parties, family members, police to say that someone is a danger and should lose their right to carry firearms. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine proposed his state implement one of those red flag laws today. Are we seeing, in the wake of these two mass shootings in such a short period of time, are there a lot of calls for the red flag laws and other types of controls in a variety of states?
There are, and actually the nomenclature from it in and of itself became kind of more popular, the red flag law part of it, in the aftermath of the Parkland shooting, when President Donald Trump said that there were a lot of red flags around the shooter in that case. And we've seen both, as you mentioned, Governor DeWine, President Trump has pushed for these. But here in Wisconsin, it's a little bit of a different case. We saw Assembly Speaker Robin Voss today kind of come out, and he was a little bit more tepid, I suppose, in terms of his response to that, to the red flag laws. He said that he will not entertain proposals that take away Second Amendment rights and due process. It's also worth noting that the governor himself was far more bullish when it came to the universal background checks than he was on the red flag laws. Now, he was speaking about these gun control issues at a press conference that was on a different subject, actually, and he was asked broadly about gun control and went straight to universal background checks. He actually had to be asked about red flag laws, and when he was asked about red flag laws, he said he was considering them, but he added the caveat that essentially when you're talking about these types of laws, in his words, you're taking away people's rights to participate in democracy, and that's something that needs to be considered.
We're talking right now with Pat Pobletti, reporter for WisPolitics.com. He's with us to talk about gun control laws in Wisconsin and how they may or may not change in response to the weekend's deadly shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about gun control laws in the state? What would you like to see change, if anything? Do you think that the legislature should be addressing this, or do you think that emotions are just running too high right now to have the conversation? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we continue our conversation about Wisconsin's gun laws with Pat Pobletti. He's a reporter for WisPolitics.com. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. How do you think Wisconsin lawmakers should approach gun laws? Do you think that they need to be more strict, or do you think they go too far already? What questions do you have about gun control laws in the state? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's go to the phones, and Willem is in Colfax. Hi, Willem.
Hi. I have heard that there are several polls that show that the majority of Americans are in favor of expanded background checks and things like that. It's easier really to purchase a gun than it is to obtain a driver's license. Then the other thing that the NRA and their supporters, extremists, I think, are always quoting the Second Amendment, although they never read the Second Amendment. It's only one sentence, and my understanding of the English language is the subject of the Second Amendment is the security of a free state, and how we achieve that is through a well-regulated militia. The word well-regulated appears in the Second Amendment. So I don't see how they go from reading of the Second Amendment and come up with this notion that somehow we have the right to be armed to protect ourselves, and I've heard this said many times, from a rogue government. You know, they could drop a missile on your house from a little building in Florida, so I don't think that taking on the U.S. government is anything that we can achieve. So, and I don't feel like it's, you know, central to our freedom. I've lived in countries with much more restrictive gun laws, and I haven't felt any less free or, for that matter, less safe.
And thanks for that comment, William. And because we're a little short on time, I'm going to go right to another caller. David in Prairie Farm is up. Hi, David.
Hi. I'm a gun owner, responsible gun owner, have been for years. I don't see how creating more laws is for gun control is going to solve any problem. The people who commit these crimes and go out and shoot people, they don't care about the laws. They're obviously going to get the their hands on a gun however they see fit, and they're going to use it.
Thanks for that call, David. And Pat, one of the questions that I wanted to ask and that David's question really leads to is, do we have data on states where there are the universal background checks, where there are perhaps the red flag laws or a waiting period? Do we see a decrease in gun violence?
It's kind of a mixed reaction to that. So let's start with the universal background checks. Now, California has put into place a system where it expanded background checks to cover all gun purchases. Essentially, what happened there is all gun purchases have to go through a licensed dealer, which then relates that information to the California DOJ. But a study from the University of California at Davis, in conjunction with Johns Hopkins University, essentially found that such laws made very little difference. Now, on the other side of that, there are studies from Missouri and Connecticut that they looked at what are called permit-to-purchase laws, which are very similar, which essentially require a permit in order to do a transaction involving a firearm. In order to have that permit, you would have to go through the background check process that's already in place. And in Missouri and in Connecticut, it found both homicide and suicide by guns decreased by sizable margins over that period of time.
Let's take one more quick call. Matt in Stanley is up. Hi, Matt.
Yes, thank you. See, I think the gentleman, your guest, just kind of maybe touched a little bit in a where here's where I'm going with this. When I buy a handgun right now in the state of Wisconsin, there's an extra charge for a Madison background check on me, $10. Now, here's what's going to happen when you go to universal background checks, where if I sell to my neighbor or my brother or whoever that I know is not a felon, I have to go through a licensed dealer. The dealer's going to say, well, why doesn't your brother or neighbor just buy a new gun from me? Well, he's going to buy mine. Okay, well, that's $80 to transfer through me. Or that's $100 to transfer that firearm through me. So what I end up with is diminished value of property, exercising my Second Amendment rights.
And we're running a little short on time, Matt, but we got your point. So Matt's saying, Pat, that you know, some of these laws are not going to do what they are intended to, and they could have some unintended consequences as well.
And there's certainly an argument to be made there. And I mean, beyond the typical Second Amendment argument you hear from Republicans, another thing that conservatives have pushed back on is that they see this expanded background check as essentially an expansion of government power. Now, there's an argument that the Constitution doesn't necessarily empower government to regulate non-commercial transfers of legal firearms between private citizens. And I mean, there's also no indications that if we look at the last two shootings in Dayton, Ohio, and El Paso, that they would have been prevented by universal background checks. For instance, the shooter in Texas purchased his firearm legally, and there's not been any evidence that surfaced thus far that a criminal background check would have caught whatever he had going on with his mental health.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for spending time with us, and we will be watching for what might or might not be happening in the legislature on these issues.
Thanks for having me.
Pat Pobletti is a reporter for WisPolitics.com. He joined us today to talk about Wisconsin gun laws in light of this weekend's deadly mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio.